Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here Tuesday, May the 25th, 2021, 5:25:21, 15 minutes past the hour, and we are heading into the big Memorial Day weekend just around the corner. Do want to remind everybody that Mayor Scott Schertzer is announcing that a class for lifeguard certification will be held at Lincoln Park Aquatic Center during the week of June the 7th. Scholarships are available for qualifying individuals for the cost of the certification class. Individuals interested in participating and becoming a certified lifeguard should contact Andrew Franklin at 740-725-9622 to sign up for the class. That number again, 740-725-9622, with summer right around the corner. Don't forget, today we have great programming coming up here on WWGH Radio. The Adam the Computer Guy show will be on today from 2:10 until 3 p.m. And then Voice of the People with Linda Sims will be on today from 4:10 until 5 p.m. All great programming here on WWGH Radio. Now, tomorrow, Wednesday, I'll be on from 8 till 10, and then Glenn Coble will join me from 10 until 12. A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble will be on tomorrow, 12 until 1. Then we have Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman from 4:10 until 5 p.m. And the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon wraps it all up tomorrow, 6:10 until 7 p.m. And all kinds of great programming in between. Now, don't forget the website, WWGH1071.com. Program archives dating back until January of 2016, I believe it was, on the website, WWGH1071.com. You can also listen live on the website, as well as the TuneIn app. Now, the TuneIn app is becoming very, very popular. The TuneIn app is completely free. You just download it on any mobile device and search WWGH, and you are hooked in. So that is the way that goes. And we are waiting for our call-in this hour. Hope you enjoyed the interview with former Congressman Jim Renacci. A lot of interesting thoughts there when it comes to Governor DeWine, Vax-a-Million, which is right around the corner here, and a Republican primary, possibly, for governor coming up here in Ohio. I don't know. I guess we will see what happens as time goes along. It's one of those things. Don't forget, Mary Ellen Withrow will be live with us on Thursday in studio, 8:10 until 10 a.m., and that's going to be a lot of fun. Mary Ellen joined us via telephone yesterday, and we got a chance to kind of glaze over a few things, but she will be on the day after the big Vax-a-Million is drawn, and I'm sure there will be a lot to talk about on Thursday morning. So don't miss that. Mary Ellen Withrow, 8:10 to 10 a.m. on Thursday morning. Now, Friday morning, the last morning we'll be on before the big break, we have some special things planned for Friday morning, because we will not be in the office on Memorial Day, so you'll have to pay attention to that. Let's see here. Well, we just got message that our call-in should be coming in anytime here, so we will hope that it comes in any moment. It's always a pleasure to be joined by our our first guest, our second guest here this morning, I guess. The Jim Renacci interview went over a little bit, but I want everybody to hear it in its entirety. No edits in the interview. How it was. So, here we are. And as we continue on, you know, I wonder what the summer will be like as opposed to last summer. I really think that it could be a lot different this year. But time will tell. Time will tell. This hour, time's telling. But we're going to get it all ironed out here in just a few minutes. Let's see here. What else do we have going on this week? Well, Friday morning. Oh, here's our guest. All right. We want to make sure we take this call. And as we continue on this morning, certainly things of a political nature have been the topic du jour on this program this morning as Jim Renacci joined us in hour number one, possibly getting in the Republican primary for governor, primarying Governor Mike DeWine, the incumbent. Didn't say for sure, but you have to go back and listen to that interview. Tell me what you think. Is he going to get in on that primary? The only Democrat who has committed to running for governor in the Democratic primary as of yet, Nan Whaley, was on last Friday. That was certainly interesting. Vax-a-Million kicks off tomorrow, the first drawing, tomorrow night at 7:29 p.m., and a whole lot of things going on locally. So it's great to be joined this hour by a gentleman we are joined by every last Tuesday of the month, the mayor of the city of Marion, Scott Scherzer, as we head into Memorial Day weekend. Mayor, how are you?
I'm fine, Scott. Good morning, buddy.
Yeah, good to talk with you. You ready for the big Memorial Day weekend this year? Do you think it'll be different than last year?
Well, I do think it'll be different. Of course, you know, the governor's releasing all the guidelines on June the 2nd. So even though most of us are relaxing those guidelines right now, thanks to the CDC, I still think there's a little intimidation out there by some folks, but we're getting used to it. Locally, I think the biggest change is likely to be that we are unable to open up the Aquatic Center this coming Saturday of the Memorial Day weekend.
Well, what is the story on that? Last time we talked, there was a lack of lifeguards, staffing. Where do we stand with that at the Aquatic Center?
Well, that's really still the case, and what we are finding out here is this is just not an isolated Marion problem. This is a national issue where they're having troubles getting young people all across the country certified and just getting the young people in the door to get them certified to be lifeguards. Of course, in the state of Ohio, your lifeguard certification is for 2 years. So if you worked for the Marion Aquatic Center in 2019, and then we were not open last year, you don't have a valid certification. So what we have done is we worked with the YMCA to make sure that they were offering additional classes. Those classes to get certified can be very expensive, up to $250. Ohio Means Jobs, locally here in Marion, offered up a scholarship for those individuals that may struggle with that $250. We've even had a couple local businesses, one a local bank, offer to help out with those scholarships as well. So it doesn't appear that the $250 cost to get certified is the issue. It just appears that we need to reach out to young people ages 16 to 21. That's our average demographic for a lifeguard. And because of the size of our aquatic center, we need 12 certified lifeguards every day that we are open. That's not a local requirement. That's a statewide requirement because of the square footage of the deck and the size of the aquatic center.
So at this point, when the aquatic center would normally open on Memorial Day weekend, that will not happen simply due to a lack of lifeguards at this point. Do we have any hope? Are more people signing up to take classes that it will be open at all this year?
Oh, yes, we're going to open. That's not the issue. We did push it back one entire week, so we are very hopeful that we'll have at least 12 certified lifeguards that will have applied and filled out their paperwork and, you know, those types of things. For the first Saturday of June, which I believe is June the 5th. And as we bring on more lifeguards, we'll add more days. But right now, our goal is to open on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays and continue to bring on more. Now, we are hosting a lifeguard class at the Marion Aquatic Center starting Monday, June the 7th. Now, the YMCA is running those classes, so if anybody is interested or you know a young person seeking a summer employment, call the Marion YMCA. I believe that class is full or almost full, so we hope that those individuals in that class the week of June the 7th will immediately fill out an application to be a lifeguard at the Marion Aquatic Center, and then we can bring on, again, more lifeguards online and add more days to the schedule.
Well, that's good to hear. So right now it will be open on the three weekend days until the lifeguards can be picked up to where they need to be.
That's right. And opening day, as of right now, is June the 5th, which is a Saturday. We're still interviewing. We're still getting people signed up as lifeguards. But remember, we need 12 every day we're open. We normally have 24 to 30-plus lifeguards already certified, already applied, already interviewed, and already hired by now because we rotate everybody in and out of a seven-day schedule. So you're going to get plenty of hours this year if we're somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 to 20 lifeguards. We hope that we can open 7 days. Again, that is our goal.
Mayor, you talked about the state mandates being lifted and things changing with the CDC. The state mandates go away on June the 2nd. As we have it right now, in the state of Ohio, depending on which poll you look at, the people vaccinated in the state of Ohio seems to be between 40 and 50%. Tracy Kinsler was on last Thursday. She said in Marion County it's 35% right now as of last Thursday. What do you make of those numbers, and do you think this is the right time to open things back up when we're not even at half vaccinated?
Well, certainly it is a concern, Scott. I think we have all heard that magical 70% number that we're all striving to get vaccinated to get what we need to make us all safe, even those that aren't vaccinated. You scratch your head and you think, okay, Marion's at 35%. If that's a fully vaccinated number, that means a partially vaccinated probably is, I don't know, let's say 40%, a little bit higher. We still have a long way to go here in Marion. And I think we should continue to encourage vaccinations. But again, it is an individual decision. And I understand that perspective as well. What I'm concerned about is the fact that as we release or relax these restrictions, we're going to see an uptick come mid or late June because the vaccination rate is so low in Marion County. And what does that do? Does that throw us back into a red or a purple and we have to start having local restrictions because we did not get vaccinated in a timely manner? That impacts the local economy. And that is one of my biggest concerns is the local economy is doing well, Ohio's economy is doing well, but we need to work together to make sure that we keep moving in the right direction to do well.
The dates on this are very interesting because, and I believe I have this right, that on June 23rd, the Ohio legislature had already said that if these mandates were not lifted, that they were going to introduce a bill to lift these mandates. They've been kind of back and forth with the governor through this whole pandemic. The governor got out ahead of that, June 2nd, lifting the mandates. He is up for re-election. We just had Jim Renacci on last hour, who is certainly thinking about running against Governor DeWine in the primary, says he's got polls in which he would beat Governor DeWine in a Republican primary. Nan Whaley's running on the Democratic side. You know, you've been in politics a long time. Do you think this might have been a political decision on Mike DeWine's part rather than a what's best for us decision?
Well, I think we've seen more political decisions being made during the pandemic than science-based decisions, and that is disheartening as someone who has been in the public arena for so long and been an elected official as long as I have. And I guess, you know, it's the will of the people, right? I mean, sometimes we make good decisions and sometimes we don't, but I'm a little concerned about polls like that when anybody comes on thinking about running for any office. You know, you can run any poll that favors you depending upon how you ask the questions. So polling right now, we're over a year away from that campaign getting serious. So I don't put much credibility into polls at this stage of the game.
Are you surprised, though, that certainly if you just look at the facts of how the legislature, the Republican legislature in Ohio and Governor DeWine, the Republican incumbent governor, have dealt with each other, are you surprised at the criticism? Josh Mandel is criticizing DeWine. Renacci's criticizing DeWine. Jordan has criticized DeWine. They're all Republicans. This is an incumbent governor. Are you surprised of the incoming he's taking on this?
Well, it's unfortunate that they can't follow the 11th commandment that Ronald Reagan set out for the Republican Party in the 1980s. I think that's long gone. They want to laud former President Reagan all the time, but they don't follow his guidance when it comes to things of that issue and that nature. I think what it is today is you're talking about Jim Renacci, Jim Jordan, and the other gentleman, Mandel. So they've got you talking about him now. You asked me a question about them. That's what they want. They want the media to talk about them because that helps them in their cause if they do make a decision to run or if they are fundraising to decide whether they can raise enough dollars to even take a shot at an incumbent Republican governor or any incumbent that for that matter.
It is interesting that the legislature, though, the Republican legislature has also been at odds with him, really through the entire pandemic. What has that said to you?
Gerrymandering. That's the problem.
If the election were held today for governor, do you think Mike DeWine could be reelected?
Sure. Absolutely. He is the incumbent. He is well known. He's been in office for a long time. Look, you and I are tuned in to the political world more than most people, and so are the other people that you just mentioned. And same thing on the Democratic side, whether it's Mayor Cranley or Nan Whaley or Tim Ryan running for the United States Senate to replace Rob Portman. But, you know, we need to think more in lines of what about Joe and Jane Citizen? They're not as tuned in to those names like you and I are and others in the media and others in the political world are.
Certainly something, speaking of publicity and something people are tuned into. As a matter of fact, I think there was a big article on the front page of the Dispatch yesterday. I think it's in the Star today. Vax-a-Million. Tomorrow night kicks off $1 million for 5 weeks, 7:29 p.m. for people who are vaccinated or who at least have received their first vaccination shot. This is government money, money that was sent from the federal government to Ohio. Mike DeWine getting a lot of criticism, not just from politicians. The late night comedians last week, National, had a field day kind of making fun of him for this. What do you make of this Vax-a-Million?
Well, again, I would go right back to our last conversation. Mike DeWine's getting a lot of press out of this, isn't he?
He certainly is.
On a personal note, I would say, you know, if it motivates more people to get vaccinated in Ohio, if it pushes us towards that 70% fully vaccinated rate, then why not try it? It's not like he's taking $100 million of the stimulus money or $1 billion. I think it's worth the shot to see if it works. No pun intended on worth the shot there, Scott.
Do you think, though, the biggest criticism, you know, money's a driver for everybody, but do you think it's a little hokey? that something so serious, this is the criticism I hear from people, something so serious as this pandemic that's killed 500,000 people in the United States, now the vaccination is being put into a lottery form.
Well, you use the term hokey. Of course it's hokey. But again, if it motivates another 1 million people, 2 million people, 3 million people to get vaccinated, that's the goal of Vax-a-Million. And if it can accomplish that goal successfully, then it was worth it. If it can't, then we'll all be talking about it at the end of next month when you and I have our call and say, well, that didn't work, but I think it's 5 people or $1 million richer in the state of Ohio. Good for them. So you have to reevaluate the whole thing.
By the way, also, the first drawing, 2.8 million people have entered. Now, we really don't know the numbers on, because some people just haven't entered. So it's hard to tell at this point exactly if it has driven anything. We'll know more as time goes on. Did you enter Vax-a-Million, Mayor?
Absolutely. Everybody in my family did. We've all been vaccinated. We all entered, so yes, we did.
It's certainly an interesting concept. Do you think that politics is turning into this? We've talked about the changes over the last few years, that it does have to become more the word hokey and entertaining.
There's absolutely no doubt about that. You take some of the politicians, if they got as much media attention, whether it be local, statewide, or national media attention, they might not survive this new hokey world of politics that we're in right now. But some people thrive in the hokiness of American politics at every level. And I think a lot of it has to do with how good of a communicator you are. I think a big, big part of it depends upon how versed and comfortable you are in social media. That is an area where I have expressed to you and others that I'm not that comfortable, but I find myself doing it more and more. I'll post something about swearing in new police officers. I'm amazed at how many people like it, and you just don't realize how many people out there are, I don't know if they're following you, but they're Facebook friends of you. So being in that social media world can be a full-time job at the local level because, we're elected to do a job, and being on social media is not what we were elected to do.
Talking about the vaccinations here, we certainly hope that numbers go up. I don't think anybody would say differently. Marion at 35%, you and I both live in Marion County, Marion City. What's your rationale for why the number in Marion County is lower than that of the state?
I think that's probably more of a Tracy question than a mayor question, but I thank you for asking. I don't know that I have a good answer for you. I think it has a lot to do with the demographics in our community. We are still largely a very blue-collar demographic community. Our educational attainment is still very low when it comes to a high school diploma versus a college degree. I think the more advanced degrees that one might have, one might see the value of getting vaccinated. And of course, I have zero scientific evidence to back up anything that I'm saying. So those are probably two primary reasons why the vaccination rate might be so low. Maybe it's just because people don't know where to go. The local media is not what it once was, as you well know. In this community, we could rely upon the delivery of a hard copy newspaper every day at your house when you and I were kids. We could rely on another radio network every morning to see if the schools were going to be in a 2-hour delay because of inclement weather. That's not the case anymore. So social media is where people tend to get all their information. But it's not always accurate, correct information. It's more of an opinion being pushed out there on people, and that's concerning, and that's really what things that you and I have discussed before.
I think the initials of that station were WMRN.
Okay, well, I didn't know, you know.
No, no, you never know anymore. It's one of those things. You're exactly right. I certainly understand. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this because we've spent a whole lot of time on it, but the $1.28 million situation with the auditor, there is a committee now investigating this. We've learned since we spoke last time that they do have subpoena power. Have you learned anything since we last spoke more about this than you knew before?
Well, I think it's important to point out to your listeners at the top of this conversation is I am not the boss of the auditor. He is an independently elected official within the city of Marion, elected by registered voters, duly elected, okay, fairly elected. So I want to make sure that that's very clear to people that I have nothing to do with keeping the books for the city of Marion. That is a Ohio Revised Code responsibility of municipal auditors across the state of Ohio. I don't know that I have learned any more about that particular issue, and I think now what needs to be done is the question for me, the number one question is, did the auditor have the authority to take 2021 monies to pay a 2020 bill because of the mix-up of sending it all to the state and not paying the feds? I will grant you, it's a mistake. It is also a rookie mistake. That should not happen at this level. I think more cross-training needs to take place within that office. And I have often asked the auditor, are you cross-training your employees? Because our staffs are so small that when somebody is out, there's often nobody to step in and replace. We just go without. We can't go without a payroll clerk. We can't go without a deputy auditor. We can't go without an internal auditor. There's only one of each. That's it. So you have to cross-train and make sure that you have a backup to fill in for the payroll clerk, because undoubtedly the payroll clerk will go on vacation because they have a right to go on vacation according to the bargaining contract signed with that bargaining unit and the city of Marion. They have a right to bereavement leave, and that's what caused all this last June when the payroll clerk was on bereavement pay leave because of a death in her family. We can't deny them those opportunities to do things like that because she's the only one in this case. Now, that payroll clerk has since retired. This was enough to force that individual into retirement. The accusation that she was the cause of all this when she wasn't even here, and a lot of other extemporaneous things that have happened since last June. So no, I don't know anymore. Very concerned spending 2021 money. That budget was passed to spend in 2021, where we are right now. And he took that money and he paid a 2020 bill because it was a mistake. And when nobody knew about it, and we found out about this through a comedy of errors, if you will, that cover-up really concerns me. Because now one says, what else is going on in that office that we don't know about? And so I think that the committee, if they do their job right, and if they do their job professionally, and that's very important, we should get to the bottom of this and find out whether it was an appropriate appropriations to do what he did.
When we spoke last, you said your monthly meetings with the auditor had resumed at that time. Are they still going on? And has that question ever been asked as far as, can we help you? Do you need help there? And if so, what's the answer?
So, you know, I offered help back in June, and it was politely declined. I'm always willing to offer help. But I'm not here to do their job. You know, that's what they were either elected or appointed to do. I have individuals on my staff as mayor that have a plethora of institutional knowledge, and that knowledge is there to be tapped if one wants to tap that institutional knowledge. So offering of help and then the accepting of help are two different things. I've offered help.
Are the meetings still happening?
Yeah. Well, the next one will be next Thursday. So, yes.
A final question on this. What I hear from a lot of people is that this is going on. It's covered by the newspaper. It's covered by radio stations here. Subpoena power, committee formed. It's pretty well been going on since February. And at the end, if the answer is just it was a rookie mistake made by an auditor who had never been in this position before, don't do it again. Why did we do all this? Or could the penalty be bigger, in your opinion?
Well, I do think that we all should be held accountable for our actions, and there are consequences, but the level of consequences may be different. You could have the ultimate consequence, which would be a conviction and then, you know, jail time. You could have a consequence of the state auditor, an equivalency of a slap on the hand. But I think the most important thing also, in addition to the consequences, is did you learn from your mistake? Are you now cross-training? Are you now hiring people to fill vacant positions that are qualified to do the job based upon the Yarger report? And the Yarger report is basically it has all the city jobs and the qualifications of which one needs to have to hold that position. And that is adopted by city council, the Yarger report. So there are also other consequences involved. And I don't know the answers to those questions right now.
And go ahead.
Maybe we should ask the auditor.
Well, and not that it will go this way, but just so the listening audience understands this, this issue, being called a mistake for some time now, could result in charges. Not that it will, but it could. Is that correct?
You know, that's a question probably for the law director. I understand that it might and could, and I think that's the important thing to stress, is it could, maybe.
And we'll move on from that subject. A big issue here in Marion right now, of course, we're talking about vaccinations, so on and so forth. I believe it's called ARP money that a lot of cities received. I believe Marion received an amount. Do we know where that ARP money is going to go?
Well, we don't even have it yet, first of all. We don't even know the guidelines and or restrictions or parameters of the ARPA money. So we are still waiting and educating ourselves. It's my understanding that the United States Treasury, who will lay out the guidelines, will send a chunk of money to each state, and then each state will distribute that to the local political subdivisions, which one of which is the city of Marion. We understand that we may be getting around $7.3 million. We've heard that we may get it in two payments, half this year, half next year. We've heard possibly that we have until December 31st of 2024. We've also heard that the restrictions are far more lenient than the CARES Act money that we got last year. So again, all these things are just, we don't know anything definitively for sure yet. And I would rather make decisions based on facts. I do know that it would not be wise to hire personnel with this money, because when you hire personnel, that's a 32-year commitment, because that's how many years you need to have to get full retirement benefits from Ohio Public Employees Retirement System. So if we have to spend it all by 2024, that's a long way from 32 years. So my inclination is that we should be doing, you know, capital improvements or capital expenses. Do we need new cruisers? Do we need a new ambulance? Do we need our elevator? I cross my fingers every day that I walk into City Hall, because We're constantly doing repair work on an elevator that is the original elevator. And, of course, that is something that's monitored by the state of Ohio. So, excuse me. So I don't know if that's something that we can get a new elevator so we don't have to worry about that for another 40 years. What kind of capital expenses can we use that money for? We'll wait until we get all that information in. We will work with city council. But yes, we will let the public know as soon as we figure out.
14 months of the pandemic right now, how is the city doing financially?
Financially, actually, we're doing very well. And I attribute that to way back into last year at this time, when our largest employers were considered essential workers, and they continued to work. So the income tax generated from low unemployment continued to roll in. Now, the unemployment rate, I believe, back in April jumped to almost double digits. I'm going to say 9.9. I can't remember exactly. But throughout the summer, as we learned to live safely in a pandemic world, more and more people went back to work. And so the unemployment rate for last month was under 5% for Marion County. And that's an important number because the city derives the vast majority of its revenue off of a 2% earned income tax. So the more people working, paying the 2% income tax, means the tax dollars are rolling in to keep the police and the fire and the parks and all the things that we do operational.
We saw some parking changes and some street changes in downtown Marion recently. How is that being received, and are there any more things in regard to downtown Marion happening in the near future?
Well, look, I've always taken the approach in my administration that we have an open mind. We'll listen to anything. We'll take a look at anything. And you know what? Oftentimes, we will try new things. I think now that people are getting used to the new parking, that people are liking it. It's that change for the very first time that throws people off. You used to have two lanes in that block of Main Street. Now you've got one northbound, one southbound. Yes, traffic backs up, but it also has slowed traffic down. So that was the goal, traffic calming in that block, because now the designated outdoor refreshment area, or the DORA, is now in place, which means that you can walk with an alcoholic beverage in your hand in that DORA. And certainly it was a safety issue to calm that traffic. And so the parking was more than doubled in that block. And as retail and restaurants gear up in that area, we knew that parking was going to become an issue. And now we're ahead of the game by doubling the parking on that block of Main Street.
A big story today, not so much to do with the city of Marion, but we certainly can't avoid it. I believe it's on the front page of the Marion Star, is that the Judge Warner issue continues. We now know that he and his wife received bail. A lot of people angry about this, if you go to social media, if you go to the Marion Star page, because the thought behind this for the longest time was people who have means and positions are treated differently, and now they look at this and say, how many people are in prison, sentenced, and then let out on bail until their appeal? What do you make of this turn in this case?
Well, I do understand why most people are confused or upset over this particular issue, and I join them in that confusion and being upset, because I'm not an attorney. I don't know if that's normal. I suspect it probably is, but I don't know that it is. And I think he should be held to a higher standard because he was a common pleas court judge. He was found guilty, you know. So I don't know. To be quite honest with you, I have talked to some legal people that said, yeah, we kind of expected that this might happen. Did it happen because of his former position, because of his socioeconomic status in the community? Wow, I certainly hope not. I hope that the same bail would be offered to anybody in those same circumstances. But I understand on social media that there are people that don't think that they would get the same benefit that he and his wife got.
Personally, what kind of taste does it leave in your mouth that this continues on?
Well, certainly there is already enough question of your government. And, you know, when I first got into local government, that question of your government was more at the national level. And then it moved to the state. And now we're seeing it at the local level. And that's very discouraging for me, that now everybody paints with the same broad brush and throws the city council person or the mayor or the county commissioners or a judge into the same category as a congressman or a senator who did something, quote-unquote, unsavory.
This continues to be ongoing, obviously, but as far as Marion goes, this case is certainly tied to Marion. It was a Marion judge. What do you think it has done for or against Marion? Because certainly the Columbus News has covered it pretty heavily.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it slowly destroys the credibility of the local judicial system when you see things like this. I think it's okay for the voter and the public to scrutinize the local judicial system because that's what they should be doing as informed voters. I just think it uncovers other things, whether you agree with this particular judge's ruling or another judge's ruling on a particular case. We all become armchair judges, if you will. And that's not necessarily good. We can all have an opinion on a particular case. I think we should put criminals in jail. I understand the premise that we can't arrest our way out of a problem, but I don't think that we should go in the other direction either and not make arrests and not have convictions and not hold criminals accountable for their crimes against society.
In our final 4 minutes here with Mayor Schertzer, and we certainly appreciate the time and candor, as we always do, I've been covering the mayor for a long time, back when he was a city council person as well, but since he became mayor, it seems like at every League of Women voter event, there always was a question, are you going to finish your term? Are you going to finish your term as mayor? And the last round we had for governor here in Ohio, the mayor was as lieutenant governor on one of the tickets on the Democratic side. We're starting to heat up again. Nan Whaley jumping in there on the Democratic side. Certainly other people making allusions at this point. Would this be something you'd entertain this time around if it were to come about?
Well, as always, every time I have run for mayor and been sworn into office, I don't go into that with the intentions of using it as a stepping stone to a higher office. So I am not looking to run for any other public or political office at this stage of the game. But we all know that running from what we call a safe seat is a different dynamic than what most people have. You know, I told my children the other day, my daughter wanted to get another summer job. She had a part-time job and she wanted a summer job. I said, you don't quit your job until you get the other job. So, you know, that's kind of my philosophy, is you don't quit a job until you get another one. Now, being a public official maybe puts a slight twist on something like that, but we'll just have to wait and see what happens. I'm very happy doing the job as the city mayor. I'm very comfortable in this position. The challenges that we face are, I believe, every challenge that, well, in my tenure as mayor, I think we've had just about every challenge thrown at you. I can't imagine anything more, but that's what makes this job so exciting. So I'm happy being mayor, and that's where I intend to stay right now as we speak at this moment.
But would not close the door if something came up?
I don't think anybody should close the door on an opportunity, regardless of who you are or what your educational attainment is or what your professional path might be. Never close any doors. I think all doors should be opened, and you should be the one opening up more doors for yourself.
Have you spoken with anybody on the state level?
On the state level, no, have not.
Okay.
Yeah, look, all the statewide candidates that are thinking about running, I've talked to all of them. I've talked to Nan. talked to Tim Ryan. Those are the probably two at the top right now. I've met Mayor Cranley. I can't say that I really know him. I'd like to get to know him a little bit better, but, you know, he appears to be in the gubernatorial race, but we'll see what happens when it comes right down to filing deadline.
Final question about this. You came to a mayor very young, younger than our last mayor, Jack Kellogg. He served four terms. Could you see yourself, and again, we don't know about tomorrow, could you see yourself running for mayor again?
Well, you know, I will make that decision after the 2022 statewide elections, because shortly after that, the filing deadline, the circulation of petitions will begin after the November 2022 election. I'll sit down with my family, and we'll take a look at things. Look, my family dynamics is changing. I'm going to have two daughters that are likely to be going away to college, all in the same year. So we'll have that discussion internally with the family. I will speak to some close confidants that I have gone to over the years. We sometimes refer to them as your kitchen cabinet. And we'll have a discussion, a frank discussion on this topic.
We have 30 seconds left, and I don't think I've ever asked you this. Do you have any aspirations whenever the mayor or whatever else would end? Is there something in your life you have not achieved in your profession that you still would like to do?
That's a great question. clearly, I know that, you know, when I'm done being mayor, and we all know that that day will finally come, I don't intend to do nothing. I can't do nothing. You get up and you go to work every day and you get excited, and sometimes you get bummed out, but then you get excited again. That's the drive that keeps me going every day. Is the love for the job. So, you know, I don't know what's in the future, but I know that there will be something in the future, and we'll just have to be patient and see what it might be.
Do want to let people know the mayor's on last Tuesday of every month. And by the way, we never have an agenda when we have these conversations, so I really do appreciate that the mayor. Yeah, I appreciate that the mayor comes on and speaks very candidly, and I always tell people that he doesn't know what's coming, and that's different in the world of politics today. So I always do appreciate it, Mayor, and I hope you and your family have a great Memorial Day weekend. I look forward to speaking to you in June.
Thank you so much, and to you and all your listeners, have a safe holiday weekend coming up. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, Mayor. Mayor Scott Schertzer. And it's true, we never talk about what we're going to talk about. All right, I'm done for the day. This is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
2016. Also listen to us on any mobile device by downloading the free TuneIn app and searching WWGH. Thanks for listening. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:50.